Okay, we're continuing with our series on tefillah and meditation. And we have to know that tefillah does not have to come from a prayer book. The rabbis wrote down the prayer book because obviously they knew how to do things. They knew how to reach the higher worlds. They put it in a certain format. Because normally what happens is if you leave a person to their own devices, they'll only pray for two things. Health and wealth. Normally people only pray for two things. Otherwise, they don't pray for general needs of the community. And therefore, the rabbis wrote the prayer book for the general needs of the community. And the first thing we pray for is brains. That's the most important thing we need to pray. Chokhmah bin adar. We need that. We need that. The brains. Because without brains, finished. That's it. So, prayers do not have to come from a prayer book. And that's what the Ramban says. Ramban says there's no fixed format for prayer. And even the Ramban also says, no one says a fixed format from the Torah, prayer. They both say you can pray whatever you want. The Ramban says you have to pray every day. The Ramban says you pray when emergencies. That's it. You don't have to pray every day. But there's no fixed format. The rabbis made the format. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola, among whom were the last three of the prophets. Who are they? Malachi, Haggai, and Zechariah. So you got to come Sunday on Motzei Shabbat, on Shabbat afternoon. Malachi, Haggai, and Zechariah. They were parts of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. They wrote the tefillah. So Ezra Sofer was not a Navi, but he was part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. He was a great rabbi. And so it's good to pray one's own words. Sometimes we need to. We're in trouble, we're in difficulties. And it's not enough just to pray in the Shemoneh Esrei. Pray all day long. Person's sick, you keep on praying. Pray all day long. Person's praying all day long. So prayer is a ladder. That was Yaakov Avinu's dream, right? Prayer is the ladder. Its feet is on earth, Mutzav Arza, Sulam, Mutzav Arza, Roshom Magi Hashamayma. Because we know prayer, Sulam, has got the same gematria as Kol. Sulam has the same gematria as Kol, 136, right? Sulam is 136, and Kol, which is a voice, which is a tefillah, is also 136. So is Som, and so is Mamon, right? Som is fasting, which is Teshuvah, and Mamon, which is Sadaqah, also is 136. So Kol and Sulam. The sulam is the kol. Sulam and the kol are related. So a person's voice, a person's tefillah is the linkage between this world and the worlds above. So prayer is a ladder that spans the world. Its feet is on earth and its head touches the ayin. It touches the Ein Sof Baruch Hu. It touches the Hashem. So you see, Hashem was on top of the ladder. It needs to be clung, it needs to be climbed rung by rung. How do you climb the ladder of tefillah? And the answer is, beautiful answer is Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi was sick and tired of the Jewish people. But I don't know if he was sick and tired of the Jewish people. He was sick and tired of the deeds of the Jewish people. He was sick and tired of the Jewish people sinning. And he had this magnificent duel with the prophets of Baal on Har Karmel. And what happened is, everyone says, Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. They all recognize God. And then the day after, they start chasing him and he has to run away. Imagine the day after he has to run away. Everyone recognizes God and he has to run away. Because the queen is out to kill him. Queen Jezebel or Isabel wanted to kill him. And his life wasn't worth anything. He ran away. He ran to the southern kingdom. And he went to Beersheba. And he hid over there in the desert over there. And it says the ravens would come and bring him food every day. Glatt kosher food from the king's table. And imagine he ate like a king. And then Hashem says, run away. Go further. Go into the desert. Go into the Sinai. Go to Har Sinai. He goes back to Har Sinai. Imagine Eliyahu Navi is on Har Sinai. And he's in a cave. And he hears different things going on. Okay. So what it says first is the three steps of meditation. These are the three steps. Eliyahu Navi. First, he hears wind. Terrific wind. Noise. Static. Noise. Wind, noise, and fire. Okay, the wind, noise, and fire. This is brought down in Malachim Aleph, chapter 19, 11. And also, if you look at the Prophet Yechezkel's vision of the Merkava, also you'll find these different parts of the meditation. Three specific steps. Before coming to the higher step is the quiet voice. The still, quiet voice. So you had wind, noise, and fire, and then the quiet voice. Okay, so these are the stages of the different worlds. Okay, and these are different also stages of the soul. Okay, so the lowest level of the soul is nefesh. Nefesh. The nefesh corresponds to the lowest world, which is the Olam Ha'asiyah, which is where we are. We are in the Olam Ha'asiyah. The nefesh comes from the Olam Ha'asiyah, which is where we are. And that is based on wind. Wind. And what is wind? Wind is speech.
Ruach.
Ruach. It's not ruach of the soul, we're talking about the wind. Right?
No, but if you translate wind.
Yes. But it's not the same thing as the soul. Okay? Ruach we're gonna see is noise, we're gonna see. So don't get confused over here. Okay, so nefesh, olam asiyah is wind and speech. Right? Speech. Those are the relatives. They're all related. They're all the same level, right? The same level. Nefesh, wind, speech, and olam ha'asiyah, the bottom of the world. Okay, the next level. Okay, and that's the wind. That's the wind that Eliyahu Nabi saw, the wind. The wind corresponds to the lowest level. Okay? All right? And this is in our tefillah and the shacharit. This is the step before Baruch Shamar. Everything you say before Baruch Shamar is olam ha'asiyah. Look at the Sfarik prayer where it tells you. You're now in Olam Hasiyah. We are now in this dimension. Baruch Hashem, we're in the... That's where we are now, right now. The next step up is after Baruch Sheamar. Baruch Sheamar kicks off the next level. What is the next level? The Ruach. Which is the next level up, the soul. Psukei Dezimra. And that stage is called noise, which is emotions. Emotions, which is Bina. And then, after that, you get... Yishtabach. After Yishtabach, you have the Yotzer Or, Baruchu. Baruchu starts the next level. And that level is called the Olam HaBriyah, which is the world of formation, which is where the world of the throne. And that's where the Neshama, that's where you have the Shema, and you have, that's fire. And that represents thoughts. And the highest level is Atzilut, which is the Chaya and the Yechida, which we didn't talk about, the two high levels of the soul, which they don't even come into the body. They are auras around us. And we talked about the laws of going to the bathroom, right? When they went to the bathroom in those days, remember? Shulchan Aruch says, they used to say, please wait for us. Two angels accompany a person wherever they go. These angels are not really angels, they're really part of our soul. The Chaya and Yechida, the higher levels of the soul, which don't come into the person. They stay outside the person. They're auras around the person. So we can't see the auras unless... Maybe you can't see the auras, I can't tell. You can see the auras, but the animals can.
Really?
Yeah, okay, good. People can too, here are. Maybe you can. I don't know. Okay, so it's good to see the auras, and you get an idea of what's going on inside.
Animals can see the
people yes.
around you?
Animals can see, and that's why they know if they're scared or not scared. Sometimes animals will look at you and they're terrified, they run away. That's why with Daniel, the lion's den, he sent his angel, Hashem sent the angels to look after him. So there's auras around him. So the Shulchan Aruch says, before you go to the bathroom, tell them to wait for you. And today he says we don't do it, because who can say they have these auras, the angels? We don't have them. Most people don't have even a neshama. Most people don't even have a neshama. We get to the level of ruach, we stop right there. So nefesh, ruach, neshama is the highest level to get inside the body. It's hard to get the neshama inside the body. And the chaya yechida don't even come in the body. They just hang out outside. Auras around the person. That's called, in Kabbalistic terms, it's called Or Makif. There's Or Pnimi, or inside, there's Or Makif, which is outside. So what's the answer? Example is, if a cup is overflowing, David HaMelech says, Kosir Vaya, my cup overflows. What's the symbolism of the cup overflowing? It's like the Neshama can't fit into the body, it overflows outside the body. That's the auras around the person. Imagine the person has such a big Neshama that the auras, they overflow around the body. And that's the highest level, that's the Shemon Esrei, Olam Atzilut. And that's where the still voice is. And that is expressed by Dveikut. If you are clinging to Hashem, when you're thinking only about Hashem, that's where a person is meant to be in Olam Atzilut. When you're doing Shemon Esrei, then a higher level, that's the highest level, that's Dveikut. So we start with speech, we move on to emotion, you move on to thoughts, and then you move on to Dveikut, which is completely linking to Hashem, completely. It's very hard to do, but it's something to aspire to. So we cannot do it, but it's something to aspire to. And that's why the morning prayers set the spiritual tone for the day. Okay? Because you're climbing up the ladder. And then after the Shemona Esrei, we climb down the ladder. Again, there's three parts of the tefillah after the Shemona Esrei. You're going up the ladder four rungs, and then you come down three rungs more. Okay? So you have Ashrei, and then you have Shir Shel Hayom, and then you have the Enkel Ha'edu. Those three rungs coming down the ladder as well. So Tefillah is a ladder. You're going up the ladder three steps, and you get to the fourth step, which is the Shemona Esrei, and then after the Shemona Esrei, you come down three steps as well. So that's Shacharit. And Shacharit is so important because it sets the stage, the spiritual stage for the day. How do you climb this ladder? And the answer is you better be careful. When you climb a ladder, you got to be very careful not to skip any rungs. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes a rung breaks. Right? You know, the famous story says the rabbi, a rebbe, he's a rebbe, and he takes ages to pray Musaf on Shabbat. Takes ages. So his community, they said, you know what, he's taking so long. Let's go down, make Kiddush, and come back, and we'll still be praying. We're praying to your time. So every week he's praying Musaf very long, and this week he's prayed very short. He stopped, he came outside. Where are you guys? I said, Rabbi, what happened? Every week you take a half an hour to pray Musaf. It's just 5 minutes already. What happened? He said, when I was climbing the ladder of Tefillah, I felt that the rungs are breaking. Whenever one Jew went out, my rung of my ladder got weaker and weaker. And you guys, are my rungs of my ladder, my prayers are braced on your prayers as well. That's why praying with the community is very important. Because it's a rung, you're building the ladder together. It's the rungs of the ladder are strong. So anyway, that's one aspect. But the rungs of our ladders are our tefillah. The words we say. The person says the words properly. And that's why it's important to count the words. Words of tefillah are like jewels. Precious.
Like a wall, because think like the ladder needs a wall, a sturdy wall to lean.
Could
on.
Be okay, whatever. I don't know. It's a mashal, so I don't know what the mashal would be. The community is like the rungs. The community is like the wall. The ladder rests on. Sometimes the ladders are self-sufficient. This ladder is self-sufficient because you go up the four and you come down the three. So it's a self-standing ladder. That's what we're talking about. It's a self-standing ladder. So, but it's your ladder and everyone else's ladder makes a big united ladder. It's a bigger ladder. It's a stronger ladder. It's made by everyone. It's not just made by one person. It's a ladder built by many people. So when you actually tuning in and you're focused and you're saying the words, you're grasping hold of the ladder. Okay? So ladder is your tefillah. When you're thinking about the tefillah, you're actually holding on to the ladder. When you're not thinking about the tefillah, you're not even holding on to the ladder. You're creating a ladder with your tefillah, but you're not even holding on to the ladder. So that's why when a person says the words with intent, you climb the ladder. That's climbing the ladder. That's a climbing ladder. Okay. So the highest level is Olam Atzilut, which is quiet, silence. They're called Demama Daka. Called Demama Daka, the still silent voice. That's the Shemona Esrei. Still silent voice, that's the highest level. So, and that's what the Prophet, if you look at the book, Melachim will tell you. He heard the wind and he heard the noise. Hashem was not in the wind. Hashem wasn't in the noise. Hashem wasn't in the fire. Hashem was in the small, still voice. That's the highest level. And that's what we do when you pray. Shemona Esrei, in the small, still voice, where Hashem unites with the soul. So, where is Hashem? And the answer is when you're praying, he's right between your lips, the Zohar says. So Hashem, Sfatai Tiftach. Hashem, open my lips. And that's why it's very important not to speak Lashon Hara, not to curse people, Chas v'Shalom, not to say lies. The mouth is the key to linking to Hashem. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says it. He says, Hashem, why did you create us with two mouths? One for tefillah and one for idle chatter. And the answer is, if Hashem gave us two mouths, we'd speak double Lashon Hara. The potential for bad is much greater. So what does a person do with their mouth? So a person's going to be very cool. The same mouth we're talking to Hashem. It says by Yeshayahu Navi, right? Remember the story? Yeshayahu Navi, he said, Yeshayahu, who will go to speak, who will go and talk to the people for me? And Yeshayahu Navi says, me! I am a man with unclean lips amongst a nation of unclean lips. And Hashem says, you sinned just now. You spoke about the people of Israel. Maybe you have unclean lips, but who says they have unclean lips? And therefore the angel comes straight away with tongs, with a hot coal, and puts it in his mouth. Obviously a symbolism. As you sin, I've got to purify your mouth. So that's the symbolism, is when our mouths utter bad things, it's very important to always say good things about Klal Yisrael. Never say bad things about Klal Yisrael. That was Rabbi Lev Yitzhak from Budachev, right? He's always saying good things about Klal Yisrael. Never say a bad word about Klal Yisrael. So why? Because when you say bad words about them, you can't defend them. When you say bad about them, we're meant to defend Klal Yisrael. We're meant to say good things about Klal Yisrael, defend Klal Yisrael. Hashem, help Klal Yisrael, help Israel. Because we have to pray for them. Because it says, Israel is bad, this is bad, this is bad. He's mekatrek. He's making a prosecution on the Jewish people. Chas v'shalom. Supposed to make a prosecution. And that's what Eliyahu HaNavi did at the end. He made a prosecution of Jewish people, and Hashem says, you know what, you're right. It's time for you to go. It's time for you to be retired. Because you lost your... That's what same thing Moshe Rabbeinu. Whenever a person starts against Klal Yisrael, even though Klal Yisrael caused him so much sarot, so much troubles, you can't talk bad about them. Im enam nevim, b'nei nevim hem. If they're not prophets, they're the descendants of prophets. All of us are descendants of prophets. Why? Abraham was a prophet. Yitzhak was a prophet. Yaakov was a prophet. If we're not prophets, we're at least descended from prophets. We're all descended from prophets. You can't speak bad about Jewish people. It's very important to know that. So we are the ladders. We bridge heaven and earth. When we attach to Hashem, we recreate reality through our prayers. So that's very important. So speech empowers emotion. Emotion empowers the thoughts. The thoughts empower the dveikut. So the wind turns to noise, which turns to fire, which brings to the still voice. That's the levels. So the outer nefesh, by the way, the soul is like a telescope. The parts of the soul are a telescope. Remember I said that, you know, the person is the garment of the soul. Remember we talked about it? The person is called the levush of the neshama. What does that mean, levush of the neshama? And the truth is, we have many levushim. We have many different garments. What do you mean, different garments? The nefesh is the outside garment. Actually, the body is the outside garment. The body is the outside garment. That's what you see. Inside the body, there's a nefesh. And inside the nefesh is the ruach. And inside the ruach is the neshama. It's all levush, 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 levush. That's how Hashem created the worlds. Different levels. Each level is clothing the other level. So the internal level, you don't even see it. It's right inside. It's hardest to reach. So how do you reach it? And the answer is, speech leads to emotion. Emotion leads to thoughts. And thoughts lead to dveikut. Thoughts lead to dveikut, which is clinging to Hashem. So that's how we get to the highest level. And when you finish praying, don't run away. That's a trick. Don't run away. It's very hard when you have a job and whatever, but it's got to go to run. Everyone's running and running. The Chafetz Chaim says, we say in our tefillah before Shema Yisrael, please Hashem shine light into our eyes and give us Torah. Their eyes find light in our Torah, in your Torah. Right? And our hearts should cling to your mitzvot. And we're praying to God to let us learn Torah. Then straight after we pray, run. Hey, what about the Torah? You just ask Hashem to lighten up your eyes with the Torah. But where's the Torah? You're just running away. So it's very important to learn after prayer. Even 5 minutes, even 2 minutes. A person learns 2 laws a day. That's all it takes. 2 halachot a day. Guaranteed a place in the world to come. Guaranteed a place in the world to come. Why? He's not telling lies. He's praying to learn Torah, and he's learning Torah. It's very important to sit straight after tefillah, learn some Torah. So, okay. So it's interesting that the ascent of prayer follows the same levels of the soul. From the outside, the nefesh, to the ruach, to the neshama, to the chaya yechida. So it goes upwards. The level of prayer goes upwards from the outside to the inside. And learn Torah after you pray. Okay, now we come to a different kind of meditation. Meditation through movement, which is big Hasidic. It's very, very Hasidic. The dancing. Shockling. Where is this based on? And the answer is based on a pasuk. David HaMelech says, and we say it after Nishmat, Kal atzmotai tomarna Hashem michamocha. All my bones will say to you, Hashem, who is like you? How do the bones talk? And the answer is, that's what they say. When you move your bones, the bones are talking. It's like your bones are talking to Hashem. That's the Hasidic explanation of moving the bones, and that's why they shackle, they move. Always moving, 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 because the bones also want to express the greatness of God. How the bones express it? So when they're learning Torah, the bones are moving. When they're praying, the bones are moving. But that's one vehicle of meditation is through movements. Okay, movements. Okay. So, movement, music. very important. Music is very, very critical to raise the soul. I'm talking about good music, not about garbage music. I'm not talking about rap and heavy metal and will destroy your soul. Will destroy your soul. Or love songs will destroy your soul, by the way. Love songs, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it. He calls it Shirei Hagavim. But a Jew is not allowed to listen to love songs. Why? It will corrupt you. It will destroy your soul. We're not allowed to read these books, love books and romance, all this junk. People should throw them out. They won't make a person holy, they'll make them unholy. They'll destroy the soul. So music, art, good art, I'm not kosher art, I'm talking about kosher art, song and dance provide a window to the soul. In fact, the biggest window is music. Music is the biggest window. We know the prophets, when they wanted to meditate, the prophets would play music. We talked about this before. We said King Saul especially, right? King Saul, it says, went to find his donkey. And who does he find? He said, go to see the Jose. Who is the Jose? Shmuel HaNavi. Go to the Jose, the seer. He's the seer. He'll tell you where your donkey is. So he goes, where is the Jose? Where is the Jose? Where is the Jose? Finally, he gets to the place where the Jose lives. And he sees a guy and he says, tell me. He says, where is the Jose? And the Jose says, I am the Jose. You met me. Come, you're welcome. We're going to bring an offering to Hashem. Please come and eat with me. You're going to eat with me tonight. So he goes and has a meal with Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi says, by the way, you have been chosen to be the first king of Israel. So Shaul doesn't know. I don't want to be king. I didn't come here to be king. I came to look for my donkey. He said, don't worry, I know where your donkeys are. I'll tell you where donkeys are. And he gives them a sign that when you go back, on the way back, you're going to meet some prophets, and you're going to start prophesying with them. That's the sign that you're going to be king. So he goes back on the way, and he sees prophets coming with their musical instruments, and he hears, and he joins them, and he starts prophesying. And they say, is that Shaul with the prophets? So it became like a famous term. Is that Shaul with the prophets? So we see the music made him amazing. So music can elevate the person. We find also in the book of Melachim, there was one of the prophets who, the king of Israel, who was Rasha. He asked him a question. He says, I can't. I'm very angry with you. I can't prophesize now. I'm very angry. Bring me music. Bring me a musician. He brought the musician. He started prophesying. The music is very, very critical. It's very hard in the Omer period to have music, so you have a cappella music. Some people allow a cappella music, but now it's a very hard time. So the music elevates a person. That's why we sing on Shabbat. That's why Motzei Shabbat sing. It's very good to elevate the soul. Music and dance. I see the Hasidim dance. Simchat Torah. We're dancing. We're dancing that. The dance, ecstatic dancing. Who already see this? David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, if do it Hashem, simcha. Serve Hashem with joy. Tehillim 100. Because joy is the prime ingredient to serve Hashem. And we said it's not, Shulchan Aruch says, it's not simcha shel hololut. It's not joy of fun. It's simcha shel mitzvah. It's a simcha of mitzvah. The person gives, so that's why before you pray, you get tzedakah. Because that tzedakah will elevate your soul and give you a real joy. So it's very important to, it's the simcha of mitzvah. And music and song elevates the soul. Unfortunately, we don't have that. Imagine, if you were to go to the Beit HaMikdash, on the Simchat Beit HaShoeva, which is the days of Chol HaMoed Sukkot, and you hear that music, you'll also be a prophet. You know people did it. Yonah. Yonah's prophecy was in the Beit HaMikdash. Yonah became a prophet. Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Because that music and that dancing and that, it just elevates you to the point where you start prophesying. So joy is very, very critical. Music and song. Because tune and rhythm lie at the core of all the worlds. That's amazing. Can you imagine? Tune and rhythm lie at the core of all the worlds. What is keeping the world alive is the rhythm. The rhythm of our tefillah going up, our mitzvot going up and going down, up and down. So it's like oscillating. The worlds are oscillating with tune, the rhythm. What we have to do is make them resonate. There's a certain frequency you can make something resonate, and then you really multiply the effect of what we're doing. That's similar to Minyan. When you're all doing the same thing all the time, it's resonating.
Is that what's referring to Shirakuda, like when Mashiach comes? Or like towards the time of Mashiach, there's going to be a song revealed?
There's going to be a?
A song revealed? A revealed song?
Maybe. I don't know.
I thought there was.
But we're going to say, start singing. Shuv Hashem, Shuv Hatzion, Hayinu Kechomim, Shir Amalo. We're going to sing.
Shir Moshe, Shir Devar.
Azishim Moshe. Yeah, there's a miracle.
There's
Rad Hashem. Depends how the Mashiach comes. We said there's a machloket between Zechariah and Daniel. And the prophet Zechariah, we just read on Shabbat, he's going to come on a donkey slowly. That's not a good sign. But Daniel says he'll come in the clouds with miracles. So we're seeing right now he's coming on a donkey right now. Okay, it's a slow plodding. Okay, the Rav Kook said that the donkey is Israel, is the state of Israel. It's a non-kosher state, so it's a donkey. He's coming on the back of a donkey. But if he comes in the miracles and wonders, of course we have to sing. We'll have to sing. Azna Shir Shira Chadasha, we say in the Haggadah, Shira Chadasha, new song. We'll sing a new song. Bezrat Hashem. That's how we end off the bracha of the on the Haggadah, based on Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Azna Mar Shira Chadasha, Hallelujah. Bezrat Hashem, we'll all sing that song in the future. But where do we see the joy and the dancing? David HaMelech. David HaMelech was, and we have to, you understand this, he was one of the happiest people you ever saw. With all his troubles, when he sang praises to God, he was, he either sang praises which were not happy, but he still sang it. Or he sang praises when he was really happy, and those are the best, the most powerful praises. So what happens is, he's bringing the Aron HaKodesh to Yerushalayim. And what is he doing? He's jumping and dancing. Mekarker, he says. Mekarker. You don't find this word very often. He's jumping and singing and dancing before the Aron HaKodesh. In joy before Hashem. And what happens? His wife gives him a real dressing down afterwards. How honored today was the King of Israel, who was revealed today before the handmaidens of his servant, as one of the empty-headed fellows reveals himself. So now what do you mean he reveals himself? So that's how Michal, his wife Michal, who happened to be the daughter of Shaul. Right, Shaul's daughter, and she rebukes David for dancing like a tramp. Basically, he's revealing himself to the maidens. All the women are looking at him. Why? Because he's revealing himself. What do you mean he's revealing himself? He was dressed up. What do you mean he's revealing himself? So the answer is, normally you're meant to be very anav, very humble. The love of God should burn inside you, but you don't have to reveal it to everyone. So this is Shmuel Aleph, chapter 6. Verse 20, and then if you look at Divrei Hayamim, chapter 15, Divrei Hayamim Aleph, you'll find it says he was clothed with a robe of fine linen. So was he revealing himself? So maybe the robe is lifting up. That's a pshat. But it seems like he's fully clothed. What's he going on about? So the answer is he's revealing his inner self. And a person should be modest and not reveal everything. You don't want to show everyone how flaunt out your exuberance for Hashem, your dveikut to Hashem. You don't flaunt it in public. So dance reveals the soul. When you forget the outside world, you fix your mind on your creator and dance, you expose what is hidden within. And you know what happened to her? The rabbis say, she never had the baby till the day of her death. What does that mean? So the rabbis say, she had a baby, but that was the last day she lived. She had a baby and a child, but she died in childbirth. That was her end. And he answers her. He says, listen, he says, I am not like your father. Your father stood on his dignity. I wouldn't show humility before God. I show humility before God. But anyway, that's she had a bitter end, unfortunately. Michal. Big tzedekah. Michal is a very big tzedekah. But there was two different ways of serving God. It's almost a private way of serving God. You don't reveal your inner side. On the other side, if you're doing it l'shem shemayim, he wasn't doing it to exhibit himself. He wasn't doing it for the flaunting himself. He was doing it because he was carried away by his love of God. So that's how you fuse the lower worlds with the higher worlds. You take the dance of the lower world and fuse it into a higher thing. Okay, so this is a very, very interesting concept. It's a very Hasidic concept of dancing. But we do this, everyone does this on Simchat Torah. And it's a mitzvah to dance on Simchat Torah. Show the happiness, joy of the Torah. Very important. Show the joy. We call it hakafot, to show that our life revolves around the Torah. We dance around the Torah to show, just like the solar system revolves around the sun, our sun is the Torah. We revolve around the Torah. It's the core of our lives. Okay. The Gemara says, in Sanhedrin, at the end of Ta'anit, it says, the rabbi said, in the future, Hashem will make a machol, a dance ring with the righteous. Hashem will be in the center. We'll be dancing around Hashem. Halavai. Obviously not in this world. So, when you're dancing around the Torah, you're dancing at Gan Eden with all the righteous. Everyone in the Gan Eden, they're dancing around Hashem, whatever that means. The life revolves around Hashem. That's what it means. Our lives revolve around the Torah. Our lives revolve around Hashem. Amazing, amazing. Okay, now we have a problem. And our problem is, we cannot grasp God. We cannot grasp. We don't grasp. You can't feel it. You can't touch it. What is the highest level sense? close. You're very close. Sight. Sight. How do we know? Because it's a Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai says, listen, whatever's higher in your face is a high level. So the mouth, lowest. The taste is a low, one of the lowest ones. Smell is higher. And it's interesting because after food, there's a bracha achrona. But after smell, there's no bracha achrona. Why is no bracha achrona? Because no residues. After food, there's something inside you can say a bracha on. After smell, there's nothing left. There's no residues. Sight, there's very few brachot. There are brachot on sight. So, yeah, you see the mountain, Maaseh Bereishis, you see a sea, yeah, you see whatever, Grand Canyon, you got to say a bracha, you see the thunder, lightning, you hear whatever, you see things. So then brachot. So sight is one of the highest senses. But why? Because it's not tangible. You can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't touch it, you can't smell it. Sight. So it's not tangible. So less tangible something is, physically, the higher it is spiritually. It's amazing. It's the total opposite, inverse opposite. Something which is not tangible physically is much more likely to be spiritual. So the vision we have, on the other hand, you cannot conceive something you've never smelt. Someone tells you there's a smell. Okay. I don't know. What smell is it? What does it smell like? You have to ask, what does it smell like? Nothing you've ever smelt in your life. Now you lost me completely. A color. Oh, you've never seen this color. It's an amazing color. What color is it? What does it look like? I can't tell you. I can't even explain it to you. It doesn't match any color in this world. Wow. So that's why prophetic visions go beyond the scope of our human brains. You're seeing things that no, it's not physical. So it's very hard for the prophets to come down and tell us this is what we saw. Because they're seeing things which are not physical. They're trying to interpret it for us. In a sense, it's like H.G. Wells, the time machine. He's going to the future and telling us about what he saw. And it's hard to describe these things. It's amazing because, like, Yeshayahu sees the Jews coming back on wings of eagles. Why? How do you explain an airplane to man in those days? So he came the wings of eagles. So you have to explain to man in those days. Well, Eliyahu Navi goes up in a chariot. What does that mean? A fiery chariot. We don't know. So therefore, obviously, Hashem is beyond our comprehension. Hashem is way beyond our comprehension. No one's ever seen Hashem. Even the angels have never seen Hashem. How do we know the angels never saw Hashem? Because we send our prayers, Ayyeh mekom kivodo le'aritzo. Where is he? Where is his place? We don't know where he is. The angels know there's a God. They don't know where he is. They don't know. They didn't have learned. It's a question. It's what contact did they have with Hashem? They get orders. They get directions. But they're getting directions from the higher angels, so maybe the higher angels get closer. One of the highest angels is the Memtet. He's the Sarapanim. The Memtet was no other than Hanoch. It says Hanoch never died. He walked with God and was no more. What happened to Hanoch? He became the Memtet. He became the highest, one of the highest level angels. Amazing. It means a human being can become a highest level angel. The truth is, we go even higher than the angels. Our souls go even higher than that. Our souls come from a source which are higher than the angels. Our souls come from the Atzilut, hopefully. They come from the Yetzirah. So we're two stages above them. Our souls come from above them. So nothing can represent Hashem. However, the Arizal says, two things give manifestations to Hashem. Okay? What are the two things? Number one is, David HaMelech says, Mivsari Echze Eloka. From my flesh I will see God. Sorry. And number two is the name of God. The name of Hashem is the closest you can get to Hashem. So we see the letters have power in them, which can get us closer to Hashem. So man, we say, what do we say in the tefillah of Erev Shabbat? Sof Maaseh V'Machshava Techila. The last act that Hashem made was the beginning of his thoughts. What was the last act that Hashem made? What was the last thing Hashem made? Adam! That was the beginning of his thoughts. Imagine. Sof davar machshava techila. Sof maasev machshava techila. The last thing he made was machshava techila. Was the first thing in his mind. So we can see, when Hashem created the world, was the first thing to make in his head is the last thing he made. Amazing. Think about it. We are the first thing. Hashem created everything for us, for human beings. He created everything for the human beings. Why? first idea in the head was to create human beings. Now he's going to create the system for the human beings to live in. It's amazing. So there we see what is the highest level we can get to is I want to get to the first thing Hashem made. That's the highest thing to get to. What's the first thing Hashem made? Hey, he made me first. Mibsari erze eloka. From me, I can find out what's going on. Okay, so that's an amazing concept. So we are the pinnacle of creation. There's two ways of looking at it. The question the Gemara asked is, why did the ants come before us? So Hashem says, if you behave yourself, you are the pinnacle of creation. You came last, and they all were created to serve you. If you misbehave, they all came before you. You're last. So it depends on our behavior. Are we the pinnacle of creation or not? We're meant to be. And we can be if we act like it. If we don't act like it, we're worse. We're worse than the animals. We're worse than the insects. We're worse than everything else. But we are the blueprint of creation of all the worlds. Why? Because we have all the parts of all the worlds in us. Amazing. Think about it. The body is the Asiya. The Nefesh is the Yetzira. The Ruach is the Bria. And the Neshama is the Atzilut. All the parts of all the worlds are part of us. Then we have the Yahya Yechida, which go even higher. The blueprint of all the worlds is manifested in humans. And therefore, by studying ourselves, and studying human beings, and studying the souls, you can gain understanding of all the celestial spheres and the revelation process through person, the intellect, the emotion, the physical makeup of the soul. And the famous vision of the glass blower, right? 574 over here. The Zohar talks about the glass blower. Etz Chaim, the Arizal, also talks about the glass blower. If you think about a person who's blowing into a tube, and you have this blob of hot, molten glass, or silicon, I think. And the guy's blowing into it. Now, when he blows into it, it's his breath going into this thing to create the vessel. That breath is Hashem's breath flowing into us. So now we have the vessel, that's the body. But inside the vessel is a little bit of Hashem's breath. And not only Hashem's breath there, Hashem's breath is linked to it all the way going up into the highest levels. That's our soul. Goes all the way up to the highest levels. The other medium is the alphabet. I never thought about this, but think about this. The alphabet, how many letters in the alphabet? 22. How much is 22? 11 times 2. 11. But the sefirot are 10, right? No, 11! How come? Because sometimes we count the dot, and sometimes we don't count dot. Sometimes we count keter, and sometimes we don't count keter. When we count the dot, we don't count the keter. When we count the keter, we don't count the dot. So that's how we get 10. But if you count them both, you get 11. There's 11 letters going this way, and there's 11 letters going that way. Wow. 11 steps going up, like a ladder. Same thing, a ladder. The alphabet is a ladder. Energy is going up, energy is coming down. 11 letters going up all the way to the highest levels. And then 11 letters coming down again. Amazing, amazing concept. Amazing concept. Okay. Now what's interesting is, there are, look at the letters for the word, Sefer. Sefer has got many meanings. Sefer, like for example, Sefer Yetzirah, which is the book of formation, which is probably the oldest Kabbalistic book. And the rabbis say it was given to Avraham Avinu. Probably the oldest one was Raziel HaMalach, which went to, that's what they say, Adam Rishon. Okay. Sefer Yetzirah, which was translated by Ari Kaplan. I don't advise anyone to read it. Unless you really know what you're doing, because it's very dangerous. It's one of the higher levels of Kabbalah. Yeah, you don't start over there, you start with Arizal, because without that you can't understand anything else. So Ari Kaplan, apparently, the story is he went to Baba Sali, he said, I want to translate Sefer Yetzirah, and Baba Sali said, warned him, he said, if you do, you're going to die.
Really?
And he did. It's very dangerous, very, very dangerous. Anyway, you don't start at the top, you want to start at the bottom and work your way up. So it's impossible to understand. Anyway, it's impossible to understand what it's talking about, basically, without Ari Kaplan's commentary, which helps the person a little bit. But even then, I'll just give you a little bit of Sefer Yetzirah over here. Sefer Yetzirah says right in the beginning, Hashem created the world with three books. Shalosha Sfarim. Three books. V'sefer, Sefer, V'sefer. Basefer, V'sefer, V'sfor. So this we interpreted as Sefar, numbers, Sefer, writing, and Sipur, speech. Similar letters. Similar letters. Samach, Pei, Resh, or Samach, Fei, Resh. Sfor is to count. Sefer is a book which is writing. And Sipur is with a Pei, story. Amazing. These God's tools of creation are number, text, and communication. Or Sefer, book, scribe, and story. And all these letters and the words are the catalysts and the key to dynamic components of Hashem's thoughts and creation. So book refers to the Torah, which is the soul of the Torah, which is the process within the higher worlds. Story refers to creation, the creation story. Natural history, or the imprint of the soul, as David HaMelech says. The skies tell of the glory of God. And it is social history, which is historic reality, which is the result of Hashem's light shining through the Torah. And writing refers to the human form, which reveals Hashem's order of revelation. So numbers, writing, and speech are the channels of Hashem's wisdom. He communicates directly, indirectly through numbers, letters, and speech. Okay, so the Torah. You have the Gematria, which is the numbers. You have the letters, and you have the speech, which is the whole story of the Torah. So numbers, letters, and speech. So in this, the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are unique. They embody a light of pure essence. It's amazing. It's amazing. This is really amazing because... what time is it? It's really amazing. The letters of the Torah signify 22 lights found above. This is Rav Chaim Moshe Luzzatto. Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. Ramchal. In Derech Etz Chaim. These lights shine on the letters, and those lights are included in the individual properties of each letter. I mean, we know that Kabbalah says Hashem created the world with letters. Pirkei Avot, chapter 5, right? The numbers we talked about. Asura ma'amrot nivra olam. Hashem created the world with speech. Whatever that means, Hashem doesn't speak. What it means? It was telling us something. So there are spiritual energies manifested by the letters. The letters, according to Arizal, are the otiot, are the kilim of the orot. They're the vessels for the energies to go in. The energies go in the letters. The letters are like boxes. We talked about it. The word in Hebrew for a word is a teva. And the letter is a part of that box. Why? Because a box contains meaning, contains emotion, contains everything. That's speech. Speech is the box through which we communicate our feelings. So the feelings inside the box. So how you say the word is very, very important. Same thing how we speak to God. Same thing. The emotions play a very big role in what we contain inside the box. We don't really realize that when we're talking, we're actually presenting something and we're giving boxes to people. Mm. And inside the boxes are our emotions and our thoughts and our intellect and everything inside it. Part of our soul is inside that box. Yes, because we're using part of our soul to talk. The ruach. The ruach, person's ruach is inside the box. The speech. So it depends what a person's saying, how he says it, what he says it, but part of it's going to someone else. And if they don't understand it, it comes right back to them. Okay, there's Or Yashar and Or Chozer. Or Yashar is the light that you're beaming on someone else. If they're absorbing it, Or Yashar. If they don't absorb it, they reflect it right back to you. And that's what Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Akiva says, I learned the most from everyone, but the most I learned from my students. Why? Because sometimes they don't understand. They reflect it right back to me. I get more energy. And plus they give me the questions, and that's also Or Chozer. Or Chozer is also the questions, and therefore I get more light. I'll be able to shine more light on them. So the letters are very powerful tools for meditation. Meditating on letters should be part of our daily regimen. And thinking about these letters, think about Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. That's the most powerful. So we talked about it. Think about Yud-Kei Vav-Kei with the vowels of Yirah. What is Yirah? Fear. So Yirah, Yud, Chirik. He, Shva. Vav, Kamatz, Yira. So think about it. So that's a very powerful meditation. And yes.
I never did anything like that.
You tried it?
Yeah, I mean,
I looked at it. It's not just looking at it. You have to actually think in your mind. It's not the value is not looking.
Think about the letters.
The letters, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, just have in your mind. Shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid, and think Hashem is there and Hashem is watching you. And then you'll be that's the idea. The idea is to bring Hashem into your life. Hashem is within you, outside you, watching you, helping you. Everything's Hashem. Prabhupada just says you give up, it doesn't make a difference. Prabhupada's gonna think it's part of their life. Hashem is part of your life. Hashem is a big chunk of your life. Hashem will help you. Hashem is everywhere. Or even your own name.
Your name.
Your name in between. Okay, so Aleph is one God. Okay. Gimel, Chochmah. Hey, Bina. Zayin, Dad. Chesed, Tet. Vura, Kaf. One second. Tiferet, Mem. So just skip. Netzach, Samach. Chod, Peh. Yifsod, Kuf. Malchut, Shin. And then the other letters, all polarities. They're receivers. And they pass the message on. Or you can look at it as well, the energy is going up one way and coming down the other way. So letter pairs, they're letter pairs. They're going up. The highest level is the Aleph, and then Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Chet, Tet, Yud, Kaf. Chet, Tet, Yud, Kaf. All going up to the Aleph. And then from Taf, they're going down to Lamed. So energy is going up from the Kaf to the Aleph, and then energy is coming down from the Taf to the Lamed. That's what we call Adbash. What's Adbash? The Kabbalists are very good at Adbash. They substitute the Aleph with a Taf, the Bet with a Shin. Why? Because you want to bring energies down again.
Oh.
So by using the polarity of the energy, you're bringing things down. Okay.
Excuse me, Rabbi, you say that you climb from Taf to Aleph?
Yes.
And then
you come down.
What is it?
From the Taf to the Lamed.
From the Taf to
We're going up one way and coming down the other way. They don't meet in the middle, that's the trouble. Because you're going up from the Kaf to the Aleph, and then you're coming down from the Taf to the Lamed. So I guess you start with the Taf and you come down to the Lamed, then you go back up from the Kaf. Okay, we're going to stop here, and we'll come back with amazing insights into Aleph Bet Gimel. Amazing. This is wild, mind-blowing. Just Aleph Bet Gimel.